Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, June the 20th. That's what this program's for, this Satsang 2015. And I have dilly whoppers for you this blessed day. And I hope that they are helpful to you in the process that you might find yourself in. They are very, very interesting to me, how people think. And I want to thank my sponsors before we begin, the Dilly Whoppers. I want to thank them all for making this radio program possible. You would not be listening to this satsang, this radio program as we call it, if it were not for our sponsors and our mystery donor who has paid for it. We need your support to sustain this, and it is only through your tax-deductible gifts and your loving sponsorship that all of this happens. And I want to thank those of you who are sponsors and are listening, and hopefully those who will become sponsors and help us. Our mystery donor has been very generous this year, helping us with new programs on the Beatitudes and this beautiful time of satsang where I get to do a little heart-to-heart communion with you in the kind of the genre of radio, as it were. So thank you. These questions that I am about to dilly-wop myself with come in all the time. I rarely get what I call insightful questions, questions about the process, questions about the meaning of life, that kind of thing. And that is not much important to most people, but proof of the pudding is what I call this kind of program. And it's people challenging me, reading maybe a commentary that someone gave them. I've read about that. Listening to these radio programs, satsangs, listening to some of the TV programs that I've made, in fact, any of them. And people then coming and writing me and saying, hey, what about this? And hey, what about that? And so I thought it would be interesting to have a program entitled Let's Kick Greg's Ass. And I think it's kind of fun. I get a kick out of it. So let's go to the first question by Randall. He does not tell me where he lives. If a religion is not practical, then what good is it really? How will your beliefs help me in my life with my wife, my kids, my work, and money? I don't get it, Randall. Randall, please forgive me. I am not teaching you to believe. I don't want you to believe. Belief only complicates everything. If you have a belief, you will never be open to the direct experience. You will never be able to see things for the way they are, as they are, and what they are. You will only see things in the darkness of that belief. Now, I am not here doing these offerings, whether it be on TV or here on Satsang, to try to get you to believe me. I really am not. This is not something I'm about. I never have been. I never will be. It's just not something that means a lot to me. So please try to understand. I am not here to get you to believe in some theory, philosophy, religion, whatever. I am not of that. I am here offering you something other than that. Now, you're going to say to me probably, what would that be? I had a friend in college who kind of had the same philosophy you did, and I loved this guy very, very much. He was a lot of fun, and he made us all think. He said, if you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, or have sex with it, it's useless. So there's a lot of people like him. His name was Todd, and wherever you are, Todd, I hope you're happy. It really doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. And Todd had the same idea. Everything had to be in the physical. Everything had to be something pertinent to making his life and evidently your life, I guess, easier or help you handle your wife, your kids, your job, and your money. I would assume that's what it's all about for you because that's what you say here. How will your beliefs? I don't have any beliefs on all of that. I mean, I'm not here to improve your life. This is why people have a great deal of difficulty when they watch an Aspire TV program here on the website at aspire.org. They don't get it. Well, how's this supposed to help me? All right, try to listen, try to understand. Jesus said, life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. In other words, there's more to life than eating and just surviving and having clothes on your back, shelter. There's far more to it. Life is more than survival, and your body is about many more things than you might think, other than just the organs that keep you functioning here on earth, as it were. So it has nothing to do with all of that. If survival is your main cause, if survival is your main influence, if survival is more important to you than anything else, then I have nothing to offer to you. Ronald, I have nothing for you. So I say, go out and eat, drink, and be merry. Do everything you can to ignore what I'm offering. Never come back to Aspire. Never go watch the TV programs. Just give it up and immerse yourself in the survival of your life. And go to those people who you think are helping you and stay with them and never leave their side. Never. Until you are worn out. You have to be worn out, Lhotse said in the Tao. Wear out and become new. There is nothing I can do to help a person such as yourself because you can't hear me. Most people can't hear me. It isn't that I'm speaking another language. It just sounds like another language to them. They can't hear what I'm teaching. It's too difficult to hear it. And if it's too difficult and you can't correspond what I'm teaching here with what you're asking, then it's useless information to you. It falls to information and useless information. I like what Kabir said. Kabir, Ronald, was a Sufi mystic, you know, very interesting person. He said, we are all struggling. None of us have gone far. Let your arrogance go and look around inside. That's exactly what I would say to you. It is arrogant to think that you understand that I am trying to get you to believe in anything. That would not be true. You're projecting on me your own self. You're projecting on me a message that I am not giving. The message I am giving you is about liberation. It is about taking the outside and putting it last, and taking the inside and making it first. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it is very hard for people generally to understand this. It makes no sense to them because they live by the sensibilities of the pedestrian mentality, which is only to get by. Now, if you can immerse yourself in those people that are trying to tell you what to believe in, that'll make your life better, eventually you'll come to the place that some of us came to in this lifetime, which is that none of that really helps. What reward have you if you've gained the whole world but lost yourself? Ronald, that would make no sense to you because you probably want to gain the whole world, being able to control your wife, your kids, your work, and your money. All these things are the things that matter to you. They look to you to be important. And if what I am teaching you here does not help you with getting along with your wife, raising your kids and getting along with them, making your work probably easier or more profitable, and managing your money and teaching you how to get money without trying to do anything or without working, you're going to throw me right out. And I understand that. It isn't your time to be with me or anyone like me. You're into the survival gig. And I'm not going to say that that's wrong. I'm just going to say it's not your time to be with someone like me. That's why I say wear out, as Lao Tzu said, and become new. Go out there and knock yourself out. Get her done. Don't be bitching to me about your predicament that you got yourself into. You're the one that married the woman. You're the one that had the kids. You're the one that has to work for the kids and the wife. And you're the one that has to make the moolah. I'm not here to help you with that. Those were your decisions. And they were based out of emotionality and chemicals in your body. Testosterone. So you want someone to come along and say, well, look, you did all these things, and they're not really working out for you because it's hard to manage all of these things and sustain some sense of maybe happiness in proportion to them. Well, dude, keep working on it. A little hint. Don't try to fix your life with what you did to break it. I will give you that. If you try to fix your life from the same premise, from the same principles, the idea of trying to get more for less, living off of emotionality, living off your testosterone, you're only going to make it worse. That's why I say go out there and knock yourself out until you are so beat up, maybe in 100, 200, 300 lives, maybe more. You'll figure it out. We all did. It took me probably billions of lives. I'm not that bright. And here I am. Nothing is the way I think it is. Nothing's the way you think it is. So, my dear friend, it's not your time. But I'm glad you asked the question, and please forgive me. Namaste. People are funny. Go out and find a woman. Men need women because we're afraid to be alone. So you can go out and get a woman. Then after you get the woman, you get her pregnant. You get her pregnant so she won't go anywhere and she's stuck with you. And then you find out that you get the DNA going and the genetics, and these kids turn out to be much more than we can handle. Then next thing you know, you got to get a job. And oh, God, the pedestrian mentality. And you wonder why the world is the way the world is, really? Next one comes from Cindy. Ooh. Why should anyone give to you or your cause? How do you help the world? I don't get it, Cindy. Cindy, I serve a different part of humankind. I serve the part that is huge, that nobody sees. I serve the obvious that no one can understand. To serve humankind, let me tell you something. You can feed people, you can clothe them, you can shelter them. You can give them medical care. All of that is good, and I'm all for it. But it isn't going to change the person. Because all those things, you can give them an education even. But what good does that do after you give them the education and they have low self-esteem, self-hatred, fear, anger, and the genetics to self-destroy? Tell me, how much good does that do? Where are the statistics after everyone has done everything they could to serve humankind in the most quote-unquote practical ways? How many of these people did anything practical with their life? How many of them became an inspiration to others? How many of them survived? How many of them gave back to the world? What I'm giving to you here seems nebulous to your thinking. Nebulous to your sensibilities. But our sensibilities are not enough to live with. I'm not asking for pie in the sky. I'm not telling you believe in fairies, believe in angels, believe in leprechauns. Not at all. I think you misunderstand. What I am trying to offer you is really very simple. And if understood, if allowed, what I offer to you could change your entire life, your perspective about life. Serving humankind, I do it in many different ways, not only through what I'm doing with you in this very moment, but in my work at hospice, in my work with my students, in my retreats, in my workshops, teaching silence. Because silence is the answer to everything. It isn't about making more money. It isn't about having more money. It isn't about having an easier life. Some of us in this world are not meant to have an easy life. Why? Because we're starting to pay attention to the meaning of our life. And once you understand the meaning of your life, you understand the nature of your karma. And you think karma is about being rewarded for being good and being punished for being bad, and that is not so. You came here designed by your own hands. You created every situation you are in. There is nothing going on in your life that you and I didn't have a hand in. In fact, are responsible for. So in helping people, I serve the inner. There are plenty of people who would love to serve the outer. And I am all for that. I am. But after you serve them, what have you got? You've got another beggar. You've got another low self-esteemer. You've got another psychopath. You've got another borderline personality disorder person. You got another bipolar. You got another alcoholic. You got another drug addict. What are you going to do? And these people are takers. Most people are takers. They take, take, take. I hope you read my commentary that I offered. Well, you can't. You're not a sponsor, and you wouldn't give. But if you read my commentary on takers, well, probably wouldn't help you anyway. So actually, nothing would convince you. I don't think you're really asking an authentic question here, Cindy. I really don't. I think you have an agenda. You've already decided that what I offer isn't valuable to you. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. I really don't. But you've never really worked at anything like I have, so you don't understand the value of it. It is in the value of understanding that you are dealing with a life, a very powerful life. And unless you understand the nature of that life, you will never understand the nature of your living. I want to read you something from Yogananda. I like this. Do not permit things to crowd in on your mind. Take a thought or a little prayer or a poem, anything of spiritual significance, and form an armor about you. This practice will bring wholeness and healing. You can have the world, honey. Cindy, you can have it all. You can have all the money, all the friends, all the family, and still find yourself screwed. Still find yourself miserable. Still find yourself lonely. Still find yourself lost. Most people do everything they can to fulfill their emotional nature. And emotions are never going to be enough to deal with the meaning of our life and what really is bothering us. And what is really bothering us? That we don't know why we're here, we don't know who we are, and we don't know what living is all about. And that part only appeals to our brain. There is another part, and I'll give you the essence of it all. We don't live from the heart. We don't know love. We have forgotten how to let love live us. And because we're so fanatic about our survival and fanatic about the idea and obsessive and compulsive about having people around us all the time, and people admire us, and people think that we're just the cat's meow. We obsess on the wrong things in the wrong time, in the wrong place, and all of a sudden, the whole gyroscope of life starts falling. Cindy, I have friends who have tons of money. I have part of my family who believe that family is everything. And yet all these people remain basically unhappy. They look into their emotional nature and they're very grateful that they have people around them or they have their money. But when those things are taken from them and life takes everything, life is impermanence. And nothing stays the same for very long. Then they're miserable again. So life is a constant fight to find something that pleasures them and makes them happy. And when you live like that, in the end, you find your hands are empty. Everything turns to dust. Cindy, go out there. I say the same thing to you as I said to Ronald. Go out there, kick some butt. Get what you need. Get what you want. Live for it. Totally. Get into it. Be as big a pedestrian as you can in your mentality. And eventually, one day, you will see what it's all about. And from there, you can change. Maybe. Surely. Of course. Please forgive me. Namaste. Why should anyone give to you? How do you help the world? Wow. It's an interesting question. You know, I go to hospice and all the people there, They turned their backs on people like me during their life. And yet there I am sitting with them in the last moments of their life. And they're clinging to every word I say and everything I can do for them in order to help them. It's just really interesting. And all I hear is, I wish I had. I wish I'd known. I wish. Last question comes from Sue in Los Angeles. And she says, I'm fine without anything you preach. So why should any of us support or help you, Sue? Well, if you're fine, then why are you listening to me? Why are you watching me? If you're fine, you're fine. You know? What's the gig, Sue? If you are okay, then why write this email? Why take the time? There might be something within you that ain't okay. And I don't know what that is in you, of course, but you wouldn't have written this email if it hadn't been for something you're unhappy with in your own life. None of us are okay. I'm not okay. None of us are. It's not about being okay. It's about finding the depth and the meaning of everything, to accept everything as it comes and to accept everything as it goes. The people you love as they come and the people you love as they go. We are not here to have perfect lives, and everyone believes they should have a perfect life. Where this assumption came from, I do not know. This I do know, that when we assume things like that, it gets ugly in this world, and it gets ugly in our life. We are here to live in a path that is spiritually inclined, that has nothing to do with having an easier, more comfortable way of life. It has to do with the meaning of our heart and the meaning of our life, of living our life through our heart. There is something very specific about living from the heart of life. There is something that goes on that is unspeakable. It does not have a thought to it. It cannot have a thought to it. It is just the ebb and the flow of something so meaningful, so beautiful, so out of the box that very few people ever really get it, and very few ever seek it. So I am sitting here teaching you in the wilderness, trying to help you understand values and situations within yourself that are more powerful than the fears that you might have about yourself and your world and even your own life. The litmus test for me has always been what my master said to us all. Live for those things so that you can take with you through death. And the only thing I know that you can take with you through death is love. And it isn't who you love. It isn't what you love. It is just love. Love without a who, a what, and a thing attached. And if you sit down and you really think about that, you'll see, you probably haven't put yourself to that task in this world. And maybe you might want to think about doing it. Maybe. But then again, maybe not. Please forgive me and thank me. Thank you for your email. I deeply appreciate it. Namaste. If you have a comment or question like any of these, and you think I didn't answer them well, come, kick my ass. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love it. I'd love it. I'd love it. You never know. Maybe I'll help someone else. Maybe it won't be you. It just might be someone else. Have a wonderful day. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.